song that should have 8 verses. We might be able to learn them by the time we get through. You about get the hang of it after 3 verses, and then that 4th one just threw you off, didn't it? So. Good song, though. We enjoy it. Back to Psalm 100, where Don read to us a minute ago as we trek through these psalms this fall up to the Christmas season. I hope that many of you didn't even need to look at your Bible when he was reading Psalm 100. If you were with us last summer, all through our video series and all, we memorized Psalm 100, and so I hope that it's in your mind a lot. Psalm 100 is actually one of a group of psalms. First of all, it's, you know, the whole book of Psalms, all 150 psalms are divided into 5 books, and this is book 4, which goes from 90 to 106. But also, when you go back to 95 forward, this is a group of a number of psalms. And so what you see, first of all, in this psalm is make a joyful noise. And then also in this psalm, come before his presence with singing. So turn back to your left and look at Psalm 95, for example, how it starts. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Skip down to 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. And 98, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Then there's another theme too. If you look at 97, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. And 99 says, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all his people. Of course, these are great prophetic psalms of that coming time. Well, we come here to this section then, and by the way, Isaac Watts, in his great book of poetry that he makes from the Psalms, starts this whole section with, O God, our help in ages past. And so that is the section that we're looking at. You know, as we think about coming before the Lord, making a joyful noise, I understand that right now, things in our world don't seem real joyful, do they? If you're a news watcher, boy, it can be a real downer every day that you hear it. We hear wars all over. There's rioting going on, murders, it seems like. People begin to shoot around other people. There's lawlessness, hatred, envy, covetousness is a great sin of our generation. It seems that there's no truth, there's no faith, there's no love, and there's no self-government, meaning no manners. People can't seem to control themselves. But you know, I was reading in the book of Daniel and remembered these verses when it seemed that way, and the Jews had been taken captive, and Nebuchadnezzar got a dream that he couldn't interpret, and somebody called for Daniel, and Daniel went to the Lord in prayer. In their captivity, when things were all dark, and he goes to the Lord in prayer, and God reveals to him the meaning of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had had. And his words come out in praise to the Lord like this in Daniel chapter 2. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. I thought to myself, who's going to change the clocks this morning? And God changes the times and seasons. No, he didn't change our clocks. I did, but he changed the season. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. If Daniel can praise the Lord like that in his dark hour, we ought to be also able to do that too. The Lord watches over us in our days. I was thinking that as a reminder of my father this week. My dad, whom you never knew, but my dad was a car guy. He loved his cars. He taught automotives in the university. He taught driver's training. He loved to drive. He said, "I like my horses under the hood, nowhere else." But I still remember as a boy driving along in the storms. You know, back then, those old cars, and they'd have the snowstorms and sometimes the rainstorms. And I can remember we're all asleep in the car, and we're driving through the night, and I wake up, and I see Dad behind the wheel, and he looks just as happy as can be. And I go back to sleep thinking, everything's good. You know, Dad's driving. I remember one time, especially when he must have been tired, because I woke up, and evidently I was the only one awake, and he said, "Talk to me for a while," you know. And I thought as a kid, well, that's kind of a privilege. And I think back onto it later, yeah, I know why, you know. Talk to me for a while. Well, folks, God is at the wheel. God is in control. And even though we're waiting for that day when that great, glorious millennial day, yet now things are dark. And we wonder if we can come before the Lord with singing and make a joyful noise and praise Him. And I'm telling you, we can. We need to. You remember that time when the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee and the great storm came up? And Jesus was in the boat asleep? On the back seat of the boat, they had a padded seat, a bench. And He was asleep on that seat when everyone else was awake thinking the storm's about to destroy us. And they go back to Jesus and they wake Him up and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And the account has it that Jesus, still lying on the couch, looks up at them in the middle of the storm and says, "Oh, you of little faith." Literally, "Oh, you little faiths." That's the way it is. "Oh, you little faiths." And He gets up. He looks out at the wind and the sea, and He says, "Be quiet." And it stops. And they say to one another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey Him?" And Peter falls down and says, you know, "Depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man." That's our God who's in control, the one who made everything. So, yeah, things may seem dark. That doesn't mean we shouldn't go vote on Tuesday. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be good citizens, do everything that we can to bring light to a dark place. And yet, remember always that God is in control, and praise Him and bless Him for all things that happen. Well, in this short psalm, five verses, I've listed for you what I think are five parts of our praise, since the title at the top says a psalm of praise, which is included in verse 1 in the Hebrew Bible, a psalm of praise. So here I think are five parts to it, if you will, that I'll take from each of the five verses. First of all, the direction of our praise. Make a joyful noise unto what? Unto whom? Unto the Lord. All ye lands. One day that's actually going to happen, and it will be a great thing. We already saw in 95, let us sing unto the Lord. And in 98, in verse 4, notice the exact words, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, it's interesting. I don't do as well with my Hebrew as I do with my Greek, but I have it open and I look at it and I notice that make a joyful noise is translated shout joyfully. That's the way it comes out literally. Shout joyfully. And notice to the Lord, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Lord here in a couple more verses, but this is Jehovah, all capital letters, L-O-R-D. Jehovah, this is the covenant-making God of Israel. Praise to Him, they say. This is, we might say, the personal God. You know how sometimes we say, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Remember that? We're not saying that you have your own kind of salvation when we say that. What we're saying is, do you know Him personally? And when they saw the word Jehovah or Yahweh in Hebrew, when they saw this Lord with all capital letters like we have it in English, that was their personal belief in God. That was who they believed in. This is their God, and they knew it. And so the psalmist says, shout joyfully to your God, the God that saved you, the God that you know personally, the one that you pray to and talk to, the one who blesses you. Praise to him. Our direction goes to him. You know, I notice that a lot of us shout at a lot of different things, some good and some not so good. You remember the days when you used to go watch your kids play ball? You know, I had two sons that played sports all the way through school. And there's nothing more comical than watching a bunch of parents at a ball game. and everybody kind of, they have their own way of watching sports. Some of them shout. Some of them would run out onto the court if you let them, you know. I mean, they are loud. And then some just sit there and say, well, I guess maybe because of all that, I was just a person who I sat. I didn't shout a lot. I didn't yell out loud a lot, but I loved watching my kids play sports. So inside, I'm saying, yeah, go get them. You know, I may not be shouting a lot outward. Some people do, some don't. But I don't know. To me, I kind of, you know, it was a deep feeling. I still, you know, if I'm reading God's word all alone in the morning and no one else is around and I see something that blesses me, I stand up and go, yeah. You know what I mean? Amen. You know, if I shouted, the neighbors probably would call, see what's going on. But we have our own way of saying, yes, Lord, that is good. You are my God. I will praise you for what I had. We had an answer to prayer this week, and that's exactly, I just, yes, that's great. God is good. And we need to be able to do that. So the direction of our prayer needs to be directed toward him, of course, toward the Lord. But there's an attitude of our praise, too, in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. We need to serve the Lord gladly, not moping around, not saying, well, I guess I got to go to church today or the preacher might call me. You know, we need to serve the Lord gladly. Look over at 104, Psalm 104, but toward the end, as a matter of fact, the last three verses. 104:33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord, which means hallelujah. When you say praise ye the Lord, you're saying hallelujah. That's one of those soliloquies, you know, those little preaching to yourselves. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Maybe we need that sometimes. Our attitude, when we come before the Lord, we need to stop and you need to say to your own soul, bless the Lord, O soul. Be happy about it. Be glad. So serve the Lord with gladness. And then not only that, come before his presence with singing. And the word presence literally is the word face. They would take the word face, you know, we talk about face-to-face meeting or something like that, and they would translate that idea of coming before the Lord's face as coming before his presence, which, of course, it is. And when we come to worship before the Lord, we ought to come as if we are face-to-face with God. We're standing there in front of him. Think of what a great day that will be. And do it with singing. Here's something interesting. Can you go over to 137, Psalm 137? Here's a psalm from late in the years of Israel's history after their Babylonian captivity. And they said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. I remember the old days. I remember our praising God in Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. We just hang up our music. And it says there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song, they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And notice the answer, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Do you feel like that sometimes? I feel like that a lot. The world wants us to sing their song, and we say, how can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I can't do that. And these people said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. I mean, if I forget how to praise you, let my right hand forget how to play an instrument. And if I don't praise you right with my tongue, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Sometimes we feel like, well, we might as well just hang our harp on the willow and play our songs no more, sing no more. You know how many times I've encouraged you folks to come into here, and though we like to sing the hymns, we like to sing the songs that have been around a long time, and I try to encourage you, sing like you mean it. Sing with joy. Sing like you believe what you're singing. And we ought to sing like that. You know, I have a friend, Al Gerard, who's a pastor down out in Springfield. And he's always been this way, but he's one of those guys that he will stand right there on the front row. And when they start singing, you can hear him next door. I mean, he just sings it out. And he doesn't have that great a voice. He's just singing before the Lord. You know our friend Webster Frowner, right? And Webster will come, and he'll come to our Bible conference, and he'll sit right there. And everybody's sitting next to Webster when the singing starts to turn. Look at Webster. He doesn't care. He's singing before the Lord as loud as he wants to sing, enjoying it. Well, folks, the Lord gave us a mouth and a tongue, and we're supposed to praise the Lord with it. And we may not have the most beautiful voice. That's why we sing as a congregation. It doesn't matter. We just all blend together. But the idea is not whether it's beauty. The idea is glory. The idea is to bring glory to God. And we open our mouth and do it. So come before his face with singing. Gladness? Yes. As a matter of fact, take your songbook. Here's an illustration for our songbook this morning. We have time to do it. Page 504. I'm back here. In this section, in the 500s, you have testimony time. At the top, it says at the top of our book, 504. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. How many of you remember that song? I grew up with that song. And as a matter of fact, look across the page at 503. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings. Praise God for a lifted load. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. We have a whole section in our songbook like that, of things like that. Those are great songs, and we still sing them, and we ought to do it when we sing with a thankful heart. I hope that you do. Remember those little signs at the end of some songs that say, Selah? And I've reminded you, it says, stop and think about that. Think about that. And though there's not one in our psalm here, we could put one after this verse, right? Come before, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Stop and think about that. Let me encourage you folks to do that. We of all people who know the Lord as Savior ought to lift up our voice every time and sing praise to him. So there's a direction and there's an attitude. There's also then in the middle of the psalm, knowledge of our praise. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Notice how it's phrased there. Not just know he is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now, I have to emphasize the fact that God can be described by one of three common names and then some other things attached to those names. There's God, there's Lord, and then there's there's Adonai, Lord Jehovah Adonai. So you have in the Old English, the capital letters is Jehovah, and capital L, small O-R-D is Adonai. And then, of course, G-O-D is from Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But often in our Old Testament, when you have Lord, capital letters, it's referring to the second person of the Trinity, not just God the Father. And so in a statement like this, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Let me show you how the New Testament handles such a thing. Go back in Psalm to 45. Psalm 45, one of the most often quoted psalms in the New Testament. Psalm 45 and verse 6 and 7. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Now stop, and you might remember Hebrews 1. When comparing Jesus to the angels, the writer of Hebrews said, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer of Hebrews to say, back there in Psalm 45, God says to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now, a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom, the way Hebrews has it. Verse 7, though, here in Psalm 45, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Notice this, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In other words, in verse 4, in verse 6, the Lord is called God, and then he says, God has anointed you, God. You see what it's doing there? And the writer of Hebrews picks up on that as a clear statement in the Psalms about the deity of Christ. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. The New Testament explains for us and makes it very clear. And so when we have in our verse in 100 and verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Probably referring to Jehovah, the second person of the Godhead. And so know that He is God. Now, two things about verse 3 that you ought to see that stand out. One is, He is God. And number two, you are not. He is God, but you are His people, the sheep of His pasture. God is the Lord. God is the cause, and you are the caused. He is the creator, you are the creation. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. Boy, if our generation could learn that. But know the Lord that He is God. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples were under persecution. It was a dark day in their life too. And the Lord had been crucified, He had risen from the dead, He had ascended back to heaven, and now they are preaching a resurrected Jesus to a nation who had rejected Him, and they really didn't want to hear it. And so they're preaching, and they're put in jail for preaching that. After a while then, they are let go, and chapter 4 says they went back to the church, to their own people, and they explained what had happened when they were preaching and were put in jail. And Acts 4:24 puts it this way. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. As a matter of fact, they're quoting words from Hezekiah in 2 Kings, when under the Assyrian invasion, when things seemed so dark in those days, it was Hezekiah that got the promise that God was going to destroy the Assyrians, and he said the same thing, O Lord, Thou art God. And so here's the psalmist, our own psalmist, saying, know ye that the Lord, he is God, folks. No matter how bad, no matter what this world does, no matter how unbelieving and ungodly the world around us becomes, remember those believers in their dark hours said, know that the Lord is God. He made us. He made heaven and earth. And he can do whatever he wants to do. Come unto him as unto a faithful creator, Peter says. He can create any circumstance and do whatever he wants. But secondly, know that we are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture, right? In Psalm 95, again, and verse 7, notice this, Psalm 95, verse 7. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And then these familiar words, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Don't harden your heart. Know that he is God, and we are the ones that are created. That's the way it should be. He made us, not we ourselves. The poor evolutionist, the poor person who thinks that we made ourselves, you know, that we climbed upon the backs of our predecessors, that we crawled out of the sea, that we quit swinging in the trees, that we somehow developed into what we call humans. Poor people don't know God, don't know that he is the creator and we are his people. It is he that created us. What a great thing that is. And let me remind you that he's a shepherd, we're the sheep. He's the head, we're the body. He's the foundation, we're the building. He is the master, we're the slave. He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the Savior, and we are the saved. I was reading through Luke chapter 12 in my New Testament reading, and you come to that portion where Jesus is saying, doesn't God care for you more than all the other things in the world? All the other creatures that he has. And in a few verses, he says, he counts the hairs on your head. He sees the sparrows fall to the ground. He feeds the ravens on their own. He arrays the lilies of the field greater than Solomon. And he clothes the grass with glory. And aren't you worth more than any of these, the Lord says. Aren't you worth more than any of those? He takes care of us. Know that God is the one who made you and not you yourselves. Praise him for that. So the knowledge of our praise is an important aspect of our praise. And then fourthly, we have this action. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. The action of our praise, when you enter and then you're thankful. You can think of it like this. When you come into the door to the lobby, are you thankful you're here? Or are you saying, well, I can make it through 2 hours, I think. I can make it through an hour maybe. Or you come in and say, this is the Lord's house. It's good to be here. I'm glad I'm here today. Maybe I've been sick, maybe I've been laid up and not able to come. I'm glad to be here today. And then when you come into this auditorium where we sing together and we pray together and we open God's word together, do you come into his courts with praise? Isn't that a great thing? You know, Matthew Henry said, blind sacrifices will never please a seeing God. Blind sacrifices, well, Lord, I'm just here. I'm doing the best I can. I'm not too good. No, come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know, there's a unique thing historically in the scriptures about the gates of the Lord. This was true in the temple in Jerusalem, and then it's true also in the millennial temple where we will one day live, and that is that you came in one gate and went out another gate. Let me read it to you in Ezekiel 46:9. When the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feasts, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth in by the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate wherein he came in, but shall go out against it. You know what he's saying there? Don't leave here, folks, like you came in. Don't go out with the same burdens that you came in with. Don't go out of this place with the same sadness or the same defeat or the same distrust that you came in with. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and then go out another way and say, praise the Lord for all that he's done. We ought to be able to do that, I think, in the church also, don't you think? You may go out the same door. By the way, I noticed that they put letters on all of our doors now. You know, our address is 14450, and so we have letters. And over these two doors, there's an H there, and we're letter I, you know, because that's our mailing address. But I kind of like it, because then from outside it says hi. When you're looking at our door, we're H and I. It's a hi, you know. Faith Baptist Church, hi. So we have advertisement they gave us because they changed our address. But let's go out with a high. Let's go out of our doors with a praise to our God higher than we came in. All right? I hope you will, and I know that you will. Be thankful unto him. When God answers your prayer, when God blesses your heart in a church service, we're humbled. Really. We're thankful. When God answers a prayer and something you specifically prayed for, you don't say, oh, Lord, I'm glad you see me as such a wonderful person that you hear what I say and answer my prayer. No, you say, Lord, I don't know how you can hear a person like me. I don't know how you hear the prayer of a sinner like me, but you do, and I'm thankful. Because prayer is such a blessing. As a matter of fact, I'm awestruck that he's given us the privilege of coming before the God of all universe, the God who created us, and we're here today worshiping him and praising him and thinking about him. What a great thing that is. It changes me and it changes you into a different person. I come in one way, I go out another way. But lastly, as we come to verse 5, lastly, then, we have great benefits, of course, to our praise. For the Lord is good. It's kind of like, here's the reason. The reason why you ought to do these other four things before this is because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. I mean, what else can you do but that? When you realize all that God is and all that he's done for you, you can't do anything else but do this. Because God is good. Spurgeon said it, he who does not praise the good is not good himself. If you can't praise the good God, there's something not good about you. He is good. And therefore, I will praise him in all of these ways that we've been talking about this morning. And literally, I will praise him from generation to generation. But look at these three things. First of all, praise him because he's good. You know that God is good. You know that there's no other way to think about God. In Acts 14, where Paul is on his first missionary journey, and he's preaching before pagans who didn't know the real God, and he's trying to tell them about what God, how good God has been to them. He says of him, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven. Now, some of us woke up this morning and says, oh, no, it's raining again. Here's Paul saying, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You can go home today and sit down at your table to eat food and thank God for the rain that made the crops grow so that you could have that food. God is good. He's good in so many ways that we pass over it and don't even think about it. His mercy is everlasting. I skipped over Psalm 90 rather than doing that today because last year I actually preached all the way through Psalm 90, so I didn't want to go back to it. And that's where Moses is writing. And in verse 14, he says, oh, he says to the Lord, satisfy us early with thy mercies, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Number one, we ought to be able to pray every morning, Lord, satisfy me early today with your mercy. then I can rejoice and praise you all day long. But I think Moses is probably saying early in your life. Praise God. Let's have our children. Let's have our grandchildren. Praise God early in their lives so that they may rejoice and be glad all their days for his mercy, because God is merciful to us. And then thirdly, his truth endures to all generations. His truth endures literally from generation to generation. You know, I don't know about you, but I can say something and forget it next hour. As a matter of fact, I can forget it next minute. And sometimes my word, doesn't seem to happen. Or what I say, I'll do, I don't do, or whatever. You know how that is. But not God. His truth and his word endures from generation to generation. If he said something 3,000 years ago in this psalm, he is still good for it. And he will still do it. And he'll not miss one jot or one tittle of anything he's ever said throughout eternity. His truth endures to all generation. There's coming a dark day in the tribulation period when many people will die and be persecuted for faith that they find. And yet we have a prayer of those people who have been beheaded and died in the tribulation period. And they are saying this. It says they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works." I mean, these are martyrs. "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Martyrs saying, "Just and true is everything that you do. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. All nations shall come." One day they will. "All nations shall come and worship before thee when your judgments are made manifest." When you come to judge the earth, then everyone will realize that your mercy is everlasting and your truth endures to all generations. You know, righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, meaning from one believer to another. And his truth endures from one generation to another, from generation to generation. Aren't you glad for those who in generations before you were faithful to bring you the gospel, were faithful enough to care about you and love you enough to speak the gospel truth to you? And now maybe they're gone. And now you're that generation, and there's another generation coming after you. Pretty soon you'll be gone, and they'll have to carry it on to another generation. God's truth will go from generation, from faith to faith. And we're part of that process. Isn't that great? We're part of the ones that keep the gospel going until the Lord comes back. What's that song? "Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true unto thee till death." Faith of our fathers. And so, folks, as we end this, the thoughts about this psalm, it's a dark world. And God sometimes seems to be hidden, and we don't see God's ways, or we wonder if he's really in control. Be assured that he is. Faith, which we walk by faith, not by sight, faith is the victory that overcomes the world, John wrote in his epistle. Faith is the victory. Things that are not seen, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the victory that will let you overcome the world. So, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that ye the Lord, that he is God, and made you, and you are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And he will bless you, and your day will be better because you bless the Lord that way. Stand now with me, if you will. As we stand, and we will sing a song of invitation in a moment, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask his blessing on it. Father, thank you for reminding us that we've come into your house with a thankful heart and we've come into these courts with praise on our lips. Thank you, Father, because we know all of these things about you are true. They've been true forever. They will be true forever. You are faithful to every generation and to all generations. You've been faithful to us. And though, Father, we are blessed in so many ways, even in the country in which we live, we're blessed in many ways that other countries don't have. We know it's at your hand. And we know, Father, that those who live in darkness and those who go through terrible times, you are still their God. And they still praise you for your goodness and mercy. So help us to do that, Father, in all of our trials and tribulations that we have. May, Father, we enter in through one gate of sadness and exit through another gate of joy. And may we praise you and bless you for all that you've done for us. Bless now in this time that we sing. Ease every pain and lighten every burden. And I pray, Father, that you would heal every broken heart. And if someone does not know Christ as Savior that's hearing my voice right now, may they see the joy of knowing you through Jesus Christ, and may they come to him as their Savior. We pray that that would happen. We thank you for these things. Bless now as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen. John's going to come and lead us in this.